Invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. Our sister here, and portrayed in this chapter, has been on my heart here lately, and so I thought I'd go ahead and revisit this chapter. I've preached several times out of this chapter since becoming pastor here, and there's so much that is here. Normally, I would title this message that the woman at the well at Sychar, but this morning I title it Our Sister in Sychar of Samaria. And the reason that I do that is I want us to take a look in this morning as we go through this passage and consider about the Lord's graciousness towards her. We use that word grace, and it is a good Bible word. But what is it? We need to know what it is, okay? It is a summary term. When we say, we use that word grace, we're talking about a lot of things all at the same time. And do well for us to break that down and understand the graciousness of our Lord towards us and towards our sister here in this chapter. Now understand, I refer to her as our sister. She is now, but starting out, she wasn't. But at the end of it, indeed she is. And so our sister in Sychar of Samaria, our Lord's graciousness to her and sinners. When therefore the Lord Jesus knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea, that territory of the south, and departed again into Galilee. So he's going north from the region that wherein Jerusalem is, and going north back up to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. There's something there that needs to be done. Now understand that this is one thing that needs to be done. One necessity to go through Samaria with a whole number of necessities that our Lord is dealing with and taking care of. Many, many, many were not written down of the necessities and things that he did and needed to do and God's great work and our Lord Jesus becoming a man and the Savior coming as was promised. But this account is given to us that we might learn, that we might know. And if you're here and you're not saved, I beg you to listen to what the Lord says and what the Lord does here. It's most important that you understand the way and the working of the Lord. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, yeah, he did get tired, the humanity side of our Lord, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, noontime, high noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, this woman here that would become our sister, was she expecting Jesus? Not at all. Not at all. Did she have expectation that Jesus would come and deal with her about the need of her soul? Not at all. Did she even desire that? Well, we're going to see that she was looking for Messiah. Well, she knew that the scripture talked about Messiah. And when it was convenient, it seems, for her to reference that, she pulled that out. But she was doing just like all of us were doing before the Lord saved us. And like sinners are doing today, she was just living her life the best way she saw fit. And she wasn't looking for the Lord. But you know what? The graciousness of the Lord was that he came to her. Do you know it's no different? Our Lord Jesus does no differently today. Oh, Brother Jim, I've never seen the Lord Jesus walk up and sit down by the well where I was at. No, listen. Jesus comes and visits sinners in just the same way as he did with this woman there in Sychar. Now, you don't physically see him, but you know what happens? He comes and he brings his word. His word is the same as him. Can you, and don't answer now, but if you can parse out the difference of the physical presence of Jesus and the carrying of his word to sinners and to his people, can you, if you can parse that out and tell me the difference between the two, I want to know it. But there is no difference, is there? The word of the Lord is he himself coming to us, whether children or whether sinners. Just so happens in this time, in the day of his ministry, he was physically there. But you and I, we don't have a second class approach by the Lord and his word being brought and carried into us. It's not substandard, is it? It's not a lesser degree of the presence and coming of the Lord, is it? No, it's the same. Yes, this was the day of his ministry, but the working of the Lord and the power is in what he says and declares. Because that's what sinners, that's what we his children need, is what he has said. Indeed, we need his work for us. We need his salvation that he wrought. And all of that is declared by his word. Look at the graciousness of the Lord. He came when she was not expecting, had no expectation, and Jesus came to her. Are you here and saved? Did not the Lord Jesus come to you? Yeah, you didn't see him. He didn't come physically and sit down by you, but he sure brought the word of his truth unto you, didn't he? He did. He did. So it's noontime, and this woman comes to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, be thou saved. Is that what he said? The next thing I want us to see about the graciousness of the Lord is the Lord deals with her where she's at. He speaks to her. He speaks to her about things in her life. He reasons with her and deals with her. How? With his words. Okay? He doesn't say, praying, you are saved. But he deals with her. He deals with her heart. He deals with her emotions. He deals with her person. Where she's at in life. The graciousness of the Lord. You know, this Bible could be three sentences and it would be done. But you know what the Lord does? He deals with us where we are. And to show us that he is the Lord and he is the Savior that we need for living and for life. That he is the Lord and the Savior that we need for the salvation of our souls, for the forgiveness of our sins. And Brother Doug preached about how the Lord is, he's a better priest, isn't he? He gets it. He spends time to sympathize. He spends time to deal with us and reason with us about our situation. Not, it's done. He doesn't work that way with us, does it? One brother said it years ago, and I like it. There is an element there. There is an element there as a man would woo and look to court and to love and to persuade a bride to be. So it is our Lord comes and he woos the sinner to our need and the salvation that we can only find in him. The graciousness of our Lord. The Lord takes time. He takes time. And the thing is, he knows every single situation of life for each and every one of us. It's not a rubber stamp kind of thing, is it? Our salvation is the same in him. His death, his burial, his resurrection. But he takes time and he works by his Spirit to deal with us in the intricacies and the details of each individual's life. It's not like the Lord takes the template that he used on Jim Duke and comes over here and uses it on you, because your life is different. Your pursuit, exposure, your delving into sin and just the differences that there are in life, the pitfalls, the problems, the The Lord takes and He works in each and every person. Each one that He comes to, He spends time. He says to her in verse 7, "Give me to drink." For His disciples were going away into the city to buy meat, food. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him." Now I want you to see there's about five or six things here that she dealing with Him, He dealing with her, that you and I hear when we try to witness to folks about objection, doubt, right? Isn't there always when there's a bringing forth of the need of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there's always a doubt thing that's thrown up. There's a claim to religious points and parts. There's a thinking that people have some esoteric kind of weird ideas about God and who He is and what salvation is, don't they? It's just the way it is. We seek a way that is our own. We're sheep gone astray. And so she's no different. And you know what the Lord does? He deals with her right with the things that she brings up. So the first thing is this of prejudice. "This saith the woman of Samaria," verse 9, "unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Okay? So this of prejudice. "What are you doing asking water of me? You all don't deal with us. You avoid us." Most the Jews, the Orthodox, the ones that are following after Judaism, were told historically would go around Samaria to get up to Galilee and go way out of the way to do so. Jesus went right up through Samaria. Had an appointment, didn't He? Listen to what Jesus says. Are you here in need of the Lord as Savior? Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. She wants to deal with this prejudice. "Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God." Now, who's that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The gift of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's what the Lord says. "And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." The Lord Jesus doesn't even deal with the prejudice issue that's in her mind. With the Lord Jesus, look at the graciousness of God. There is no prejudice, is there? No matter what ethnicity, no matter what continent, no matter what family, no matter what history, no matter what good or sorry connections, there is no prejudice with the Lord. He is no respecter of persons. A woman living a life of ill repute, there's no respecter of persons with the Lord. He said, if you knew the gift of God, and if you're here and you're not saved, I pray that you would see the gift of God. That the gift of God is the Lord Jesus, salvation, deliverance, forgiveness of sins. I pray that you would see that. Jesus just doesn't say, praying, you're saved, boing, you're saved. He reasons with her, doesn't He? If you knew the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, is the Lord speaking to you? I pray that He will. I pray that you would hear Him speaking to you. And you would heed and believe the things that He is speaking to you. You know what? The Lord is speaking to you. Not because of this man. But because this man, as a preacher and a pastor, is taking the Lord's word and telling it over to you again. He's speaking to you through His word. I pray that He speaks to your heart with it. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked Him. If you knew who I was, if you knew the gift of God, you'd be asking me for something. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord Jesus said that. So, if you're here without Christ the Savior, Have you asked? Have you gone to the Lord with your need? Have you faced up to your sin and your need and gone to the Lord? Not wallowing over about your need, but have you gone to the Lord? Because Jesus says, if you knew who I was and you knew the gift of God, you would ask me and I would have given you living water. So he says, living water is there for the asking. I'm not. It's not my word. It's what the Lord Jesus said. Was there an application process? Was there a qualifying of whether she was a candidate to get in line for this particular offering? No. If you knew who I was, if you knew the gift of God, and you knew who I was, who it is that speaks to you, you would have asked me, and I might give you living water. Is that what he said? He would give it. He would give it. This brings to mind this passage of our Lord over in, where our Lord speaks over in Luke chapter 11, speaking about how we giving gifts to our children and provision for our children, and we know what is good to do. Your child asks an egg. Do you give him a stone? No. The Lord says there in Luke 11, 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He didn't say to you who ask him. He said to them that ask him. There's a difference there, isn't there? Yeah. Now listen. If you're here and you're not saved, you can take and you can ball up. I tell you what, don't be like Pharaoh. Amen. Brother Mark's been telling and teaching what the scripture says about Pharaoh. Don't face up to what God says and say, no, there's got to be a different way. No, don't do that. It's to your destruction. Do you hear and heed the word of the Lord? Hear it and heed it. Do we understand how many people, how many millions, billions of people in the world that are here, that have come and have passed and have never heard the word of the Lord Jesus? And here at the very least this morning, the word of the Lord Jesus is being told again and told to the need that he worked and blessed with, and we that he saved, and you that are here and not saved, the one that you need. Have you gone to him with your need? The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And so now she wants to deal and talk about this doubt about ability and power. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She doubts, doesn't she? Has the Lord said it? If he said he could give living water, is there any doubt that he cannot do so? He can do so, can he? If he said it, he can do so. Period. It's done. It's not even the board for discussion. He can give living water. Whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said twice over, he gives it. He gives it. Have you asked for it? Ask for it. Go to him. Do you see a need that you need it? If you do not see a need that you need it, you will never have it. But I pray that the Lord, did the Lord come to this woman because she had no need? Is the word of the Lord coming to you today because you have no need? No, we all have a need. We all have a need. And the Lord speaks to our need, and we need to hearken unto him. He said, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him. You'd have jumped right on it. Ask him to give thee, and he would have given thee living water. He said, the water that I have will not be like the water here in the well that Jacob dug, but it will be water that I give, and it will cause one that I give it to never thirst. And the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is a continual flowing fountain. Look at the graciousness of the Lord. She thinks she lives and dies by the water that comes out of the well. But you know what? We live and die by the water that comes from our Lord Jesus. Without that water, there's going to be no life. Oh, physical life for the little short time of life here on this earth. Yeah, we need physical water. But what about eternity? Without that eternal water, without that living water, without that life given by the Lord within, not a sinner saving himself, but a sinner coming to the Lord for the need. So she wants to speak about ability and power, and Jesus tells her he's got the ability. He's got what she needs. He doesn't talk so much about what he can do, although he mentions it, but he talks to her about what she needs. It's what you need, sinner. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking about having to come down there every day at noon and draw water, isn't she? She's still thinking about the labor. She said, oh, if I could just be spared this 7-day-a-week daily labor of coming down here to draw water out of the well, I would be greatly relieved. She just doesn't get it, does she? Look at the graciousness of the Lord. He's patient with sinners, isn't he? He's long-suffering with sinners. He gets it that she doesn't get it. And does he say, okay, see you later? No. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. She needs to be brought. She needs to be brought. She has asked, she said, give me this living water, even though she misunderstands, even though she just thinks it's going to be a physical relief from daily chores. The Lord is long-suffering, and he takes and he steers her and deals with her about the need that she's got to face, the thing that she's got to face, and what? That of her sin. That of her sin. Because there needs to be repentance, doesn't there? There needs to be an understanding of transgression and sin and iniquity and wickedness before God Almighty, her Creator. And the Lord doesn't look to drive her in the ground, does he? But to bring her the truth, the understanding. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She asked him for it, even though she misunderstands the result and the effect. The Lord is compassionate. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Go call your husband. Jesus knows how to zero right in on the sin, doesn't he? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Jesus, he says, go get your husband. Does Jesus not know that her situation? Jesus knows her situation inside and out. He knows her sin, her continual sin inside and out. Does that cause him to go away? No, because he came to save sinners, to call sinners to repentance. Even though she misunderstands about the living water that only Jesus can give, And that he said, if you knew who I was, you would ask of me for this living water. Even though she just thinks that it's a physical relief from daily chore there at high noon, 7 days a week. The Lord says, go call your husband and come here. I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you're right. You have well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. She's an adulteress, isn't she? She's a woman of ill repute and fornication. It's brought out. She's shacking up with a man, living in fornication and wickedness against God. Look at the graciousness of the Lord again. It didn't cause the Lord to go away, did it? It didn't cause the Lord to say, well, sorry, ma'am, you're not qualified. I'm moving on. No. He told her the truth about her sin and her disobedience and her wickedness to cause her to face up to it herself. To face up to it. Because that's what a sinner in need of salvation needs to do, is need to face up to their sin. He reasoned with her. He took time with her. And you know what he's doing in all of this? He's taking and he's dispelling the doubt that she has, isn't he? He's pushing away the doubt. He said, there's nothing here that I can't deal with. There's nothing here that I can't atone for. There's nothing here that I can't save you from. She's bringing up doubt and he's dispelling the doubt. And that's what Jesus does. She says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she wants to get talk religion, right? People find out I'm a preacher, a pastor. They say, oh, my first cousin's uncle's nephew's grandson was a preacher. Okay. I'm a deacon in a church. I'm a this, a that, or the other. What's that? What's that matter? What's it matter? It doesn't matter. She says, I perceive that you're a prophet. She wants to talk religion now. So I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, if we understand it right. And ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. More doubt. I don't know if you're believable or not. I don't know if you've really got what I need or not. You ever heard that? Well, you worship God your way and I worship God my way. Now, there's only one way. We need to line up with it, every single one of us. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. You're not saved? The Lord says, believe me. Believe me. Don't doubt me, but believe me. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Geography isn't going to matter. Ye worship ye know not what, and that's the plight of the Samaritans, a subject for another time. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know what? In spite of this religious debate between the Jews and the Samaritans, this avoidance of the Jews of the Samaritans, Jesus goes and he's not PC, is he? He tells the truth. He says, ma'am, you don't know what you worship. We do know who we worship. And salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what's needed to worship the Father. He says the hour cometh, and matter of fact, it now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Not that the Father's in a strait looking to find enough worshipers. But that's who he's looking for. That's who he wants, is those that'll come and worship him in spirit and in truth. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And what's he going to tell her here in a few verses? The woman saith unto him, now she resorts to this of deferment, doesn't she? Doubt that's at hand. And Jesus dispelling the doubt. She goes from one subject to another subject to another subject just as quickly as the Lord dispels the doubt that she has in things. And she says the hindrance that she has in receiving this and believing this truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. I know he's coming. When he is come, he will tell us all things. He'll straighten it out. You've got your opinion. We've got our opinion. I've got mine. And when Messiah comes, then it'll all get straightened out. I'm telling you what, if you wait till Messiah comes, it'll be too late. For her, it wasn't. But for you, it'll be too late if you wait till Messiah comes. And he will straighten it out. Listen to what he says. Listen to even what he says to you here out of his word. Again, this is no less powerful, no less true than if Jesus were standing here physically declaring these words. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus saith unto her, verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. I am. I am. I am from all the way back there in Moses in the beginning. He says, I am he. He said, ma'am, woman, you've got the truth straight from the source. And you know what? We do here today, don't we? We've got the truth. We've got the way, the one in whom salvation is. We've got the graciousness of the Lord and the long-suffering of the Lord here shown unto us that he dispels doubt. He takes and deals with people where they are, just like this woman. And he says, I'm the one that's speaking to you. I am he. You can believe it. You can trust in me in it. It is truth. The woman saith unto him, or the verse number 27, it says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman left her water pot. We see here that of revelation, don't we? The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. We suppose that she came and spoke to the men because she was more friendly and in league with them than the women of the town. And she says to them, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? The revelation of the Lord is revealed unto her, and isn't it a blessing? Isn't it the graciousness of God that reveals such to sinners? You know, we declare it and we proclaim it, and well, we should. As intently and as persuasively and with a desire and true heartfelt conviction and desire for sinners. But you know what? We're not the salvation, are we? We tell it. We tell it from the standpoint of having experienced it. Believe and trust and repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus. He will rescue you. But we look to the Lord. We look to the Lord to make it real unto the sinner and the individual, don't we? And our Lord made it real unto her. Faith. And her testimony, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, you know what the answer is? Yes, he is. He is. He is. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the Savior and Redeemer that you need. And as he's dealt with this woman, I pray that you would hear the word of the Lord and hear his words and what he has said. And that he would take and he would dispel your doubt too. I can't. But he can. And I pray that he is. I pray that he will. Our Lord Jesus Christ. She is our sister. In glory there with the Lord. Oh, How could it be that a woman such as this, a woman of ill repute, shacking up with a man, living in this wicked, adulterous way, claiming a form of religion, but denying the power thereof? How could it be? How could it be that a woman like that could be brought to salvation and faith? Well, our Lord is gracious, isn't He? He's gracious and He's long-suffering. And He's good. He's a Savior that you need if you're here and you're not saved.